For the last 2 weeks, we have reflected on the stories of three unsung heroes. The first was the widow of Zarephath, whose radical hospitality saved and preserved the life of the prophet Elijah during a time of drought and famine. And another people were the two craftsmen, Bezalel and Oholiab, who used their skills and gifts to build the tabernacle, the portable place of worship the Israelites used until the construction of the Jerusalem temple. Today we are going to consider the story of Shiphrah and Puah. Like the two names we heard last Sunday, Bezalel and Oholiab, these names are not familiar to our ears. Shiphrah and Puah. The book of Exodus tells us the story of the formation of the community of God's people. And Moses is a central figure in the story. But the story of Moses would not have been possible without this story of the midwives. Of course, there were other very important women who were unsung heroes in the life of Moses. His mother, Jochebed, who risked her own life to save her son, the life of Moses, by building a basket for him. His older sister, Miriam, who watched her baby brother as he was floating in a basket. And the Pharaoh's daughter, who found Moses in the basket by the banks of the Nile River and adopted him, disobeying her father's order. But their stories would not have existed without the courageous actions of Shiphrah and Puah. Let me give you a brief background for today's scripture reading, as recorded in the beginning of the book of Exodus, just in the 14 verses of the chapter 1 of the book of Exodus. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, and his whole household, that means his 12 sons and their families. Do you know how many altogether? The scripture says 70 in total. They had migrated from Canaan to Egypt during a time of prolonged drought and famine, and they settled down there. As many years passed by, the first generation of immigrants all died. Yet, their descendants multiplied in number. Then the Egyptians began to resent their growing population and prosperity. So their king said to his people, and this king, as we remember the story of Joseph, during the time of Joseph, the king really favored Joseph, and then through Joseph and his whole family were protected. But now, as many years and generations passed by, the new king rose in power, and he did not know anything about Joseph's family. So their king said to his own people, the Egyptians, "Look, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So the king enslaved the Israelites. But the story says the more they were oppressed, the Israelites, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, took a more drastic measure this time and ordered genocide. He summoned two Hebrew wives, Shipra and Puah, and told them, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live." Of course, Shipra and Puah were not the only midwives for the Israelites. Most likely, they were the chief midwives who supervised other midwives. And apparently the Pharaoh wanted them to carry out his command in secret, killing the babies without the knowledge of their mothers. Is that horrible? But the scripture says, the midwives feared God and did not do as the king had told them to do. Instead, they let the Hebrew boys live as well as the Hebrew girls. We know it is not easy to go against any established order, whether it is political, economic, or social. And imagine how scary it must have been for these powerless women to defy the order they received directly from their powerful king. But after all, they were midwives. Their primary task was to safely deliver babies. No matter what the reason or the circumstances, killing a baby that they just had delivered would mean denying their own identity as life bringer. It would mean abandoning their own responsibility as life giver. So they knew what the right thing to do was in that situation. They knew they had to live out what they believed, no matter how hard it was. So at great risk to their own lives, leaving their fate in the hands of the ruthless Egyptian king, they resisted his order of genocide. They refused to give in to the political pressure of the Egyptian authorities and said no to the evil scheme of the king. On December 1st, 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, Rosa Parks said no, refusing to obey the bus driver's order to give up her seat for a white passenger. As we know, segregation was legal everywhere, even on a bus. The front section of the bus was reserved for white citizens only, and the back for the black citizens. And the bus driver had the authority to ask a black passenger to give up a seat for a white passenger. Noticing a white man was standing because all the seats in the white-only section were taken, the bus driver asked people in the first row of the so-called colored section to give up their seats. There were four seats in each row. Three people complied immediately, but Rosa Parks did not. The driver demanded, "Why don't you stand up?" Parks replied, "I don't think I should have to stand up." So police officers were called in and Parks was arrested. As we well know, her defiance sparked the famous Montgomery bus boycott. The boycott became very successful and started a nationwide effort to end racial segregation of public facilities. On November 13th, the following year, the U.S. Supreme Court finally declared segregation on public transport to be unconditional. Later, about her act of civil disobedience, Park said these words, "People always say that I didn't give up my seat because I was tired. The only tired I was tired of giving in. I knew someone had to take the first step, and I made up my mind not to move." And about the fear she must have felt that day, that moment, later she said, "I have learned over the years that when one's mind is made up, this diminishes fear. Knowing what must be done does away with fear." God uses people like Shifra and Pua and Rosa Parks, and even us, you and me, to bring God's justice to an unjust situation and to correct the wrong. Our simple no can make a world of difference. Now, going back to our text, how were the midwives able to stand against the command of the Pharaoh? We are told that they feared God and did not do what the Pharaoh had told them to do. The source of their courage was that they feared God. Here, the fear of God does not mean that you are afraid of God, you're scared of God, because God will punish you for what you have done, for your sins. Instead, the fear of God is a deep sense of awe. It is an awareness that the ultimate source of power comes not from the emperor, not from the Pharaoh, not from any authority and power of the world, but comes from God who created heaven and earth. Fearing God means respecting God for God's mystery and wonder. Fearing God means desiring God's holy presence. So the fear of God draws us to the holy instead of pushing us away from God. Drawing their courage from God Almighty, Shifra and Pua stood against the evil power of the Pharaoh. And perhaps Shifra and Pua were able to do so because they were together. They did not work alone, separately, but together in partnership. The Pharaoh summoned them twice, and both times they were together. They went in together. They worked together, helping women safely deliver their babies. To resist the Pharaoh's evil decree, they worked together and came up with a clever lie. In other words, they conspired against the Pharaoh. Here the word conspire has two words, actually, con, C-O-N, which means to gather, and spire, S-P-I-R-E, which means to breathe. To conspire means to breathe together. Shifra and Pua, whose roles were to help mothers who were giving birth with their breathing, kept breathing together with them. Doing so, the midwives made secret plans to disobey the command of the king and save the babies. Not some babies, but all the babies they were delivering. The Pharaoh received a report that Hebrew boys were still around despite his order of genocide. Not only girls, but they were boys that he could tell, he could see. So he brought back Shifra and Puah to his palace for questioning. He asked them, "Why have you let the boys live?" Their answer was, "Hebrew women were not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. There may have been partial truth in their answer, but apparently it was a lie that they could never arrive in time to kill the babies. But God did not find fault with them, but rather rewarded them for risking their own lives to save the lives of the Hebrew babies." My friends, whether we come together for worship and fellowship, learning or serving, may our time together be a time to breathe together. May we breathe in the breath of God, who is the creator and giver of life. Shifra and Puah, the midwives, through their courage, saved the Hebrew babies from death, and in doing so, secured the life of Moses. How is God calling us to be midwives today in our context? What is the no to the powers of the world that God seeks from us? Because God invites us. Just as God invited the other unsung heroes into God's story, God invites us to have a role. We are called to speak the language of life and to be God's assistant in creating more lives in the world. In the face of death and destruction, God calls us to take a risk and say yes, a yes to help build a vision of God's kingdom here on earth. A yes to a new creation, which is taking shape, a place where there is justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.